Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our morning service, which coincides with our spring Holy Communion. So all are welcome at the Lord's table. Thank you again for complying with our guidance and the guidance of the stewards. We are going to be conducting a trial through the month of May, where we're looking to run concurrent 11 a.m. services. One will be held in the church, the other will be streamed online. Initially, Amos will be leading the services in the church for the first 2 weeks, with worship team members leading the service on Zoom, and then we will start to alternate. We're also continuing with a range of trials, thinking of the longer term, and looking at both a sort of an initial solution and a possibly more expensive longer-term solution. And our digital strategy team are heavily involved in looking at that. As you're aware, in terms of communion, we are not allowed to pass around any elements. We do, however, hand out the little pack. Now, inside there's a tissue and the small container with the grape juice and a wafer. It's a two-stage process, and when directed to do so by our minister Amos, the first stage is to remove the little transparent cover on the top to give you access to the bread wafer. And then again, under guidance from Amos, to remove the sort of metallic tab and give you access to the grape juice itself. So a two-stage process. The third stage is at the end. We'd like you to put everything together back in the little plastic container, and as you make your way out of church, deposit it in one of the two bins located just before the exit. And again, at the end of the service, can we ask you to stand up as and when the pews in front have actually started their exit. Everyone is slightly staggered, so to ensure that we maintain the safe distancing requirements, keeping that 2 metre gap, then please don't all rush forward at once. Wait until the people in front have started to make their exit, and then move along the pew and slip out in your place. So that's the talk, all the regulations this morning, and I will now pass you over to Amos. Thank you.
A very good morning to you all. Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Again, we are sorry that we cannot have the rest of the congregation with us, but I think we'll be having two services today because of the communion service. We want to welcome those who may be worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a very long while. There are no teas and coffees after the service, so when we finish, we just go back home. As we all know, we have been in a state of mourning because of the passing on to glory of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. And I know that many of us have observed many minutes of silence, but as a congregation, I would ask those who are able and willing to kindly stand so that we can begin our service this morning by paying our respect to a fallen hero. Let us stand, please. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here at this time and in this place, here where we speak our sadness without fear of sentimentality, we are grateful for faith that sustains us, hope that encourages us, and love that surrounds us. When the labor of life comes to an end and duty is done and complete, may we remain steadfast, secure in the strength of our Lord, who made heaven and earth and gives us rest. May our good God grant eternal rest to Prince Philip, and may he be kind to him in his judgment. May his soul and the souls of all others who have departed this life rest in perfect peace. Amen. Please be seated. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 116, the verses 1 to 9. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Let us worship God, and our first hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. If you are able, please, you can stand and hum while the music is played. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, our Heavenly Father, in time of peace and glory we turn to you. In time of war and despair we turn to you. Through brightness and darkness you continue to walk by our side. You fill our anxious days with steadiness. You complete our empty moments with fulfillment. Take our lives and shape them for your purpose, that our will may be your will. When we choose to drift from light and shadow, call us back, surround us with the power of your word, that hearing we may turn once more to look upon your love and know again the tenderness with which you hold us. We bow before you, knowing our weakness and fault. We acknowledge before you that our value is little. Were it not for your immeasurable love placed upon us, give us confidence to know that when you look upon us, you do not see our hurtful actions. You do not hear our harsh words. You behold only your broken but mendable children whom you love and cherish. And when once more we turn again to you, forgive. Forgive us, Lord. Show us your shining mercy, that we might lift our heads not only in hope, but surely in confidence. Such is the purpose of your saving grace for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is The Deer Pants for the Water.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verses 1 to 14. Comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Each valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand, marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Our next reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21, again reading verses 1 to 14. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word.
Our next hymn is, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may your Holy Spirit give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know the hope to which Christ has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance among us, and the greatness of his power for those who believe. Amen. I want to read to you the last five verses of John 21, that is verses 15 to 20 for my text. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Dear friends, what is the difference between people who thrive and people who decline over a long period of time? It's not that they don't get knocked down. It's that they become, or that they bounce back up. And most of the successful people I can think of have come back from discouraging circumstances. That's true of people I know personally and those I read about in the Bible. As a matter of fact, most of those whose stories are represented in the Bible have come back from something, and Peter is a perfect example. The Apostle Peter was disappointed with his inability to withstand pressure and also disappointed with himself for denying the Lord. Following their meal as they sit on the beach thinking about their handsome catch of fish, Jesus engages a conversation with Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" What a question, just out of the blue. And the question is suspect of the uncertainty about loyalty and trust in friendship. How about a longtime friend suddenly asking you, for example, "Francis or Bill or Philip, do you love me more than this?" But the solemn character of the moment is understood by Jesus' form of address, "Simon, son of John." Simon was the apostle's given name, but Jesus had renamed him Peter. Peter's name occurs frequently in the Gospel of John, but each time Jesus questions Peter here, he uses this full and formal form of address, "Simon, son of John." Now, when Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me more than this?" we are to think of the context in order to discover what he means by "this." Is Jesus asking, "Do you love me more than you love these boats and fish?" Or maybe, "Do you love me more than you love these men with whom you are walking or fishing again after an encounter with me?" These two options are relevant because Peter has gone back to his fishing career and now with his friends around him. Perhaps Jesus is calling him to make a choice that Christian people must make from time to time. Does Peter love his career or is willing to be Christ's disciple with a thoroughgoing call to ministry? You remember that it was Peter who spoke up when Jesus predicted his betrayal. He said that he alone would continue to be faithful even if the others fell away. And the Apostle John describes Peter's zeal to follow Jesus despite warnings of death. "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And of course, the deepest irony of this story is that once Peter utters this pledge, he denies Christ three times. It is often in our moments of weakness that we deny Christ. When we face the uncertainties of life and wonder whether God is really there, despite the evidence he is in charge of the world. When the sudden death of a friend or family member throws us into confusion, we might question the existence of God and even deny him. When sickness and trouble seems to take our lives away, we may be tempted to deny Christ. Or when secular culture seems to provide almost all the answers to our problems and Christianity seems to offer very little in a way of providing the help that we need, our faith may fail. But let us learn this about Jesus and Peter from our text. Jesus is the one who knows all things and understands that despite this terrible failing, Peter is still a man of faith and commitment. Jesus may then be asking, "Do you indeed love me more than these other men love me?" It is a question intended for Peter to re-examine the strength of his earlier pledge. And it is a question which we all need to ask in order to re-examine our faith journeys. Jesus Christ is asking all of us, "Do you indeed love me more than the things of this world? And can your faith still stand in the midst of adversity, sickness, and sorrow and pain?" The public nature of the conversation between Peter and Jesus is important because part of what Jesus is doing here is to reinstate Peter after the public disgrace of his denials. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this?" Note again that Jesus does not address him as Peter, the rock, for he had failed to live up to that name. But Jesus is challenging Peter with his own limitations so that he might entrust himself in a new way to the leadership of Christ. Simon, on his own, will always be Simon. He has no capacity to rise beyond that human nature and its failings. But Simon, trusting in Jesus, is Peter the rock, from whose witness and leadership the church will receive its earliest foundation. Dear friend, Peter's story contains a principle of universal application from which we all might learn. And that is the fact that before Jesus can be followed and served, the sin in our lives has to be addressed. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And holiness is God's goal for our lives. Without this transformation, we cannot be saved. God cannot coexist with sin, and for us to be with God, we must also have no sin. Peter did not forget this principle when he proclaimed the gospel to others. "What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." A relationship with Jesus Christ begins when, in his presence, we face up to all that grieves and contradicts God's holy will in our lives, whatever this may cost. But most significantly, as Peter discovered, and as Paul would later confirm, no matter how desperate our failure or how deep-seated our shame, Christ can forgive and renew us and then use us again in his service. "Peter, do you love me more than this? Feed my sheep." Jesus Christ is inviting Peter again to take up responsibility over his church, despite his failure. One great lesson I learned from this passage is that failure is never final with God, and that we should be able and willing to overcome our sense of failure and move on in life as we trust everything to Almighty God. You cannot remain in that place of failure and hope to thrive again in life. In 2014's Oscar-winning film, Birdman, Michael Keaton plays a washed-out actor trying to start his life again after a series of failed roles. But his efforts are haunted by the voice of the Birdman, the superhero role that made him famous in his youth. His voice in his head tells him a story about his life, a story of failure and missed chances. It taunts him with memories of what he was and could have been, but now isn't. The continuing question running through the theme is simple. Will he listen to that voice of failure, or will he dare to believe that he can flourish again? Many people, dear friends, dwell on their past failures and for that reason do not progress or make any progress in life. Peter did fail, but then he allowed himself to be restored by the risen Savior and went on to be one of the greatest witnesses to the words and works of Christ that we can now read from Scripture. Jesus can always forgive and renew us for better things. Forgiveness is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where we disgraced him. Let us come to the feast of Holy Communion this morning, trusting that whatever sin we have in our lives and failure, Christ has taken that away and forgiven us and renewed us and accepted us again. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we know that we have failed many times. But we also know that you have forgiven us many times and you are still willing to do so. Help us, O Father, not to remain in that place of failure and even sinfulness. And let us bring ourselves to you that you would forgive us and give us newness of life. Amen. Our next theme is the Day of Resurrection. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose presence comforts and inspires, whose people of faith set us a shining example to follow, whose love and mercy surround us to the end of our days, we offer now our gratitude for ourselves and especially for your servant Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, for gifts of courage, duty, and selfless service, receive our thanks. For concise speech and thought, receive our thanks. For his passion for this diverse world and all its creatures, we give you thanks. For his unwavering commitment to country and commonwealth, we give you thanks. We thank you also for the role he played as husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, for the way in which he took the lead and challenged and set goals and encouraged all life to be lived to the full. We bless you for his many years of marriage to our queen, for his steadfast support through her long reign, and for the bonds of affection that sustained them through each stage of life. We praise you for his enduring faith, unafraid to ask questions, but loyal in devotion to the church, for his work with the young, especially through the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme, which still enriches the lives of many in this country and across the world. We give you thanks for his many links with the land and people of Scotland, at Deeside, in the University of Edinburgh, and across the many charitable causes to which he lent support. We give you heartfelt thanks. We remember at this time all who will mourn and are mourning his loss, especially those who knew him best and loved him most. We hold before you in our prayer Her Majesty the Queen, the passing of a steward support, a stalwart support, wise counselor, and loyal friend will be hard to bear. The passing of an understanding mind and compassionate heart will be hard to bear. Give her strength and comfort. Give her peace and acceptance, that through the passage of time, bright memories and laughter will sustain her and remain as testament to a long life of duty and love, dedicated to care of family and service to country. Father, we pray to you as a church and as a congregation. You know our individual needs. Listen to us as we pray in the silence of our hearts. To you, O Father, we offer our thanks and praise today as we seek strength and direction for the way ahead in our own lives. These prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. According to thy gracious word, our next hymn. Dearly beloved in the Lord, it is our desire to receive God's grace and love through the sacraments of Holy Communion. Many as we are one body, therefore acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now, in communion with the whole Church of Christ, offer to God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving by professing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please kindly stand if you can. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, bread and wine and money. And in bringing them, we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this bread and this wine from us and feed us through them with your love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to the holy use and mystery to which he has appointed them. And as he blessed these holy things and gave thanks, let us come near to God and present to him our prayers and our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Gracious Father, it is always right and our duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for your endless glory and redeeming love. For through him you have created all things and have given us life and have protected us. But above all, you have shown your love in sending your beloved Son into the world, who humbled himself to lift us up to you. Father, you are holy. And you are merciful because you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not as we ought but as we are able do we bless you for the precious gift of this gracious Savior, the Son of the Virgin who went about doing good, the holy sacrifice who made himself the means by which our sins are forgiven, the loving mediator who has reconciled us with you, the mighty victor who has overcome death and has risen in glory and majesty, the living bread given for the food of the world. And we bless you for the gift of the Holy Spirit going out from him and from you, and for the promise of his coming again in power and glory. Therefore, having in remembrance his blessed passion, his wonderful resurrection, and his glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again, we, your servants, together with all your people, celebrate this memorial which he has commanded us to make. And we most humbly pray you to send your Holy Spirit to make holy both us and this gift of bread and wine which we have set before you, that this bread may be to us the bread of eternal life, and this cup the cup of everlasting salvation, and that we who trust in your many mercies may be made partakers of the new life in Jesus Christ with all his benefits, to the glory of your most holy name. We give you thanks for our fellowship with all your church in heaven and on earth, And we pray you to fulfill in us the purpose of your redeeming love. Through Jesus Christ, by whom and with whom in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be given to you, O Father Almighty. Our Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way also, when supper was ended, he took the cup. When he had blessed and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Your death, O Christ, we proclaim. Your resurrection, we announce. Your coming, we await. Happy are you who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is now time for us to receive with faith and repentant hearts and enjoy the feast which the Lord has prepared for us. Let us eat of his bread of life and drink of his cup of salvation with thanksgiving. We will now open the bread. Eat the bread of life, broken for you on the cross of salvation for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ was shed for us on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. Drink. Having now by faith received the sacraments of the body and blood of Christ, let us give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. A final hymn is, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son." Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.